All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, April 25th, 2019. Let the record reflect that all seated council members are in attendance. If you'd please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, it seems we have a crowd this evening, so if you haven't already done so and you plan to give public comment tonight, please make sure that you sign the public comment sheet at the doorway. And when we come to the public comment time under any item, please make sure you step to the podium, state your name and address for the record. We don't have a clerk in attendance tonight to take minutes, and so it'll be very important that we do as much for the recording as we can. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes from April 11th, 2019 council meeting. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve April 11th, 2019 council meeting minutes.
Is there a second? Ms. Parker?
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the April 11th, 2019 council meeting minutes. Discussion from council. Mr. Michelson?
Yes, Mr. Dewey.
We're on the minutes. We're on the minutes.
I know.
Okay.
We're not on the minutes. Okay. Excuse me.
Any comment on the minutes?
No.
We're on the April 11th, 2019 minutes. Any discussion from council? Public comment. Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is approval of the biweekly claims. Approval of claims 15112 through 15135. Ms. Holcomb?
I move we approve of the claims 15112 through 15135.
Okay, is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve claims 15112 and through 15135. Discussion from council. Mr. Michelson.
I noticed some claims that probably won't be on this one, but they're probably going to be on the next one, on the May 9th council meeting, which under new business, you want to ask the council to pay these claims out of cycle. Am I correct, sir?
So what we're asking is that the claims that would ordinarily show up on May 9th, that we pay those out of cycle. That's what's on the agenda.
Correct. What I'm saying is we'll be at NMIA or...
Correct.
Okay.
These claims are only claims that have been incurred to date.
Correct.
We'll incur claims between now and May 9th that will need to be paid out of cycle.
Okay.
If we don't have a May 9th meeting.
Okay. With that, I have a question.
Okay.
Our personnel policy specifically states that no employee will personally benefit from a contract or purchase entered into the town of Stevensville. No employee will use town funds for personal purchases of any nature. Authorized personnel use of town provided cell phone, data services, internet uses is allowed in certain cases. Last week, fellow council member Barker and I got a phone call from CJ's Den. And apparently you were in there and used the town credit card on the 12th of April and had lunch and to the charge of $30.30 and it was put on the town credit card.
That's correct.
I want to know who gave you the authorization to do that.
I authorized it. It was a working lunch between Public Works Director George Thomas and myself.
That's not good enough. You don't get the town card to go around and buy lunches for whoever you want, Brandon. It specifically states here. You don't get that. You just don't get that authority, son. Lou Barnett never has it. Cruz never had it. I want to know where you think you have the authority to do this.
If you don't.
It's stated here. We went to MMIA and were $6 over, and we had to pay it back. We paid it back diligently. You do not get the rein of a credit card in town. I'm sorry, but you don't. As a council member, you violated the policy. And as a citizen, I'm outraged that our tax dollars are going to you to buy lunches for whoever you want.
Well, they're not whoever I want.
How do we know that?
Because you review the bills every month. Or every 2 weeks you review the bills. That was a working lunch that the organization benefited by.
I'm sorry, a working lunch, there's no such thing as a working lunch. This will be paid back, and I want an investigation on all the credit card receipts going back to when you started to be mayor.
Okay, that would have to be a separate agenda item.
Well, I'll do that, whatever it takes. But that's wrong. You will be paying this back. You have no authority to do this. I don't care what you say to these people. It's written.
Further discussion on the claims. Okay, any public comment on the claims? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. There are no administrative reports tonight. They were all given to you at the last meeting, and no guests either. I do have a few items of correspondence that did not make it into the packet, some of which you've already been sent, and I think one you haven't. One is dated April 11th, 2019. Dear Mayor Dewey, it is with a heavy heart that I am submitting my resignation from my position as the Town of Stevensville's Town Clerk / Zoning Administrator. My resignation is effective today, Friday, April 11th. I apologize for the short notice. However, due to the continued relentless harassment, bullying, and retaliation actions by the Stevensville Town Council, I can no longer endure the intolerable working conditions and environment. I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for everything you have done for me. I am very grateful for the time I have spent on our team and the professional relationships I have built. It has truly been a pleasure working for you, and I hope our paths will cross again in the future. Sincerely, Audrey Tribbency. April 17th, 2019, Dear Mayor Dewey and Town of Stevensville Council, it is with a heavy heart that I am submitting my resignation from my position as Council Member Ward 2. My resignation is effective Thursday, April 18th, 2019. Due to the continued infighting within the Town of Stevensville, I feel that I cannot be an effective council member. As I stood alone, I have tried to overlook the contention that has been going on. I thought I could make a difference for the Town of Stevensville. Now that I have received threats for not doing what some in the community wanted me to do, I have no other choice but to resign. I would like to thank the Town Council for the opportunity of serving as a council member. Sincerely, Jerry Phillips. April 24th, 2019. Dear Mayor Dewey, Town of Stevensville employees, and Town Council members, we are saddened and disheartened to learn in the past 2 weeks that the town has lost our clerk and a council member. Audrey and Jerry did an outstanding job keeping the town's best interest in mind. They fulfilled their duties with class and professionalism. They are leaving big shoes to fill. We are especially disappointed that both resigned due to hostile working conditions. We have addressed our town council in the past, pleading to work together with town officials for the good of our community. We feel now more than ever this is a situation that needs to be addressed. These resignations are a prime example of the town council not working for the benefit of the town, but for their personal agenda. We would like to remind the council that they hold elected positions and are answerable to the townspeople. Our town will not function properly without a clerk. This is affecting business owners who make up a large tax base for this town. As a result, it will make it hard to conduct business. As our town council members, we feel it is a duty, responsibility, and obligation to the citizens of Stevensville to understand agenda items and their impacts before voting on them. If the council needs further explanation or time to investigate, please refrain from voting until you have done so. Concerned business owners: Amy Berglund, D.C., owner Active Care Family Chiropractic; Renee Christensen, owner Sapphire Medical Billing; Andrea Buchanan, owner of Cedar and Sage Herbalism; Shirley Holm, owner of Sauna Massage; and Cody Houchins, owner Cody Houchins L&T. That concludes the correspondence portion of our agenda. At this time, we'll open the floor for public comment. It's an opportunity to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the Town of Stevensville. Please make sure you sign the sign-in sheet at the doorway there, And then step to the podium for state your name and address for the record. Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville, Montana. I'm just wondering whose decision it was to remove the restrooms from the park. We have multiple children, families using the park with no restroom. We already have, I've witnessed public urination going on, and that's just not the dogs that are in the park, that's the human beings. I think it's a health hazard, to be honest with you, and I'm just wondering who made this decision and what we can do to rectify the decision. And isn't there something within our codes that requires us to have a bathroom? And I do understand that it's taken 5 years to retrofit the bathroom that exists there, and it's still not done and possibly will be done, but until it is done, I would highly suggest we put a porta potty back there for the citizens and the visitors that are coming to our community, because it is, you know, getting that time of the season where we're going to have a lot of people coming to see us.
To answer some of your questions now versus waiting down the road, the porta potties were removed from the park in the fall for winterization. And they were not replaced because the park's budget has exceeded its allowance for that service. And so instead, we're putting our energy into making sure the restrooms are done. Mr. Smith.
During this period of making sure when it's done, do we have an approximate time of when it possibly could be done, that we're going to have public urination allowed for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? What happens when a child walks around the corner and sees somebody urinating behind the pump house and informs his parents? So now we have, you know, an indecent exposure going on. I really think this situation needs to be rectified, and I think there is money within the park's budget to accomplish that, because we have the Jean Thomas Beautification Fund, which is for the park system. Again, we do have the pool coming up that was closed down last year. So if we don't have money for porta potties, how do we have money for the pool?
Thank you. Further public comment? Yes, Gretchen.
My name is Gretchen Spies. I have two businesses on Main Street. I've been here for 33 years. I've been constantly a business owner on Main Street the entire time, at one time owning three businesses. Unfortunately, I live 1 mile outside of the Stevensville limit, so I'm not allowed to vote on town council or the mayor. I feel this is very unfair because town council members, you have lost any sense of civility. This is my town, my business, my taxes, paying your salaries. I don't appreciate being the laughingstock of the valley, which Stevensville has become. I would really urge you, please, to learn civility and use it, because the business community cannot afford to lose any more businesses, because it is an unhealthy place to have a business. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Ms. Knapp.
Lily Knapp, 526 East 3rd Street, Stevensville. I want to follow up on Gretchen's talk. There are some of us that are working very hard. There are various organizations and groups that are working for economic development of our town, our community. I'm working on coding for kids. There's an economic development committee. There's a new civic group that's working on Creamery Picnic. Scarecrow will have a brew fest. We are trying our best. But what are we known for? A dysfunctional, disrespectful, rude, bullying behavior in our town. I don't appreciate that. It negates all of our efforts. If you go out and talk to people, they say, why would we want to live there? Forget that you're trying all these other things. You're the ones that are famous. You're the ones that our valley is becoming known for, our community. And I have to second everything Gretchen said. We don't appreciate that. You're to represent us, not yourselves. Not your opinions, our opinions. Respectfully. Second thing I'd like to know, just for my own edification, if a verbal threat might get you into a seat on the council, does an escalated threat, a physical threat, allow me to be mayor? Are they hand in hand? Just wondering.
Further comment? Mr. Barnett.
We wanted 119 College, having been mayor and chief of police in this town for 35 years, I understand conflict, trust me, but I want to bring up something else. I don't understand if a councilman was threatened, was a police report made?
No, it was discussed with Mr. Phillips and he decided not to pursue anything with law enforcement.
Okay. My concern is that it kept public that he was threatened, and it cast a real problem for the city of Stevensville, and I really think it should be followed up. I mean, it's a crime to threaten the city council.
It's a felony, as a matter of fact.
Yes. And I'd like to encourage someone to come forward and investigate that, whichever way it goes.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any further public comment? Okay. Move on to unfinished business. Discussion decision, council's reconsideration of the approval of the mayor's employee reorganization plan, submitted by council members Michelson and Barker. Mr. Michelson?
Okay. I was not at the last meeting, but during that meeting, which was a committee as a whole meeting, as it went on, fellow council member Holcomb and fellow council member Barker decided to rescind the plan. Mayor Dewey did not feel that it was in the right parameters of the agenda item that to do so. Mr. West asked me if I felt that it was within the ramifications. I felt that the council's decision was sustained, but to, as we say, CYA, cover our butts, we decided to put it back on there again. So, the mayor's employee reorganization plan, upon subsequent review, appears to be lacking in several areas. The mayor's reorganization plan eliminated the current building official and assigned these duties to the clerk without complete review. Of course, later on, we did learn that the clerk did not want to be the building official, which was stated in the mayor's executive report. No supporting documentation was submitted to the mayor or the clerk to justify assigning these duties to the clerk, nor was this decision previously discussed with the planning department head, Dennis Monroe, nor were the potential changes discussed. The Stevens Municipal Code states the following: the town shall employ a certified BO, which we have done, by the way, so that point is mute. And the clerk made it clear that she didn't want to do the work of the clerk and the court clerk. So under Mayor Dewey's reorganization plan, he decided to hire a part-time court clerk, 16 hours a week, I believe. In addition to that, it requires field work, and there seems to be not any plans in calculating fees to send these people to school to be qualified. Much of this review is all business licenses. The plan would circumvent the checks and building permits and must also review all business licenses. And there's so much of this plan that was not thought out. We did not have budgeting for it yet, as we're just starting our budgeting season. So when the mayor decided to put on an extra police officer, I'd like to remind the public that we had to use a police officer, cut a police officer last year to balance a budget. That nobody denies. So when he added one again this year, that raised red flags amongst council members here, because they thought, okay, we had to balance a budget last year with the cop, now we're throwing an extra one on, and with all these changes and all the wording that he said he's saving all this money, all we could really find in all of this is that he got rid of the cemetery sexton, gave that job to Denise Philly, and thought that would make everything fluffy. Well, the numbers still did not add up. So that's why we went back behind it, rescinded it, and from there, things just went every which way. And we told him, and Robin will take the lead on this, we told him in January to cease operation until we went to a town meeting to discuss budgeting and everything else. And Mayor Dewey decided to go forward with it anyway. Robin?
So I want to clear up some of these comments in the paper. Where you said, I moved forward with the plan because you had not consented it, or you had consented it and no other decision was made by council, so we continued. On February 14th, we asked you to table this until we had a council meeting. So we did ask you to stop this. It's in the minutes of February 14th, if anybody wants to look them up.
Just to clarify, tabling is just tabling the discussion at this, this hearing.
No, we said we wanted you to hold off on anything until we had a COW meeting so we could go over everything. So, the mayor said the job descriptions were in the plan and it was approved by council's consent. You still, when we hire someone new, it still has to come to the council to approve a job description and the salaries. We have to have a resolution to adopt those salaries because we did not budget them in the budget for this fiscal year. We did not budget a court clerk and we did not budget a second police officer. And then that's when you said the money was in the general fund budget to make these hires. They weren't. And then you said two of which were hired after the reorganization was given consent on January. To go back to this, February 14th minutes, Councilmember Phillips committed that the reorganization plan included court clerk and questioned if the clerk had been hired yet. Answer was, responded that we conducted interviews yesterday and the judge is ready to offer the selected candidate the position, but she has not going to offer it until she knows what the council is going to do because she doesn't feel it is right to give a job to someone then pull it back from them. So we have the minutes that said no one was hired at the February 14th meeting. But according to the paper, he said we had hired two people prior when it was given consent in January. And then you told us at our last meeting that you have that you don't have to bring it to us. You don't have to do the job description. You have spending authority. No mayor has ever had that kind of spending authority as long as I've been on the council. But then on January 10th minutes, Councilmember Barker asked you, when you were saying bring in a court clerk, which would be part-time, when you say you're going to be saying specifically, how specifically are you talking? What would that starting wage be? Your response was, responded $13 per hour or $5 an hour decrease. The court clerk would come forward with a wage adoption and the job description. That's why And then you could just continue to make changes to this reorganization after we told you to hold off. You changed the court clerk from the court clerk to court clerk slash building inspector, the town clerk to the zoning administrator, and then you change Brittany's job description from deputy clerk to administrative assistant. So you just continue to keep changing stuff. Never were we told, we did, and I will say it again when I said in the paper, we did not know we had a court clerk. She was working here for 4 weeks before we even knew. We did not know we had a new cop, police officer, until he sent out an email to us that he was being sworn in. This is what we deal on a daily basis with the communications, but everybody says it's our fault. When will you take responsibility instead of blaming your counsel? Every time you get caught in something, you have blamed us with lies, like the thing with the snow removal. You told everybody in the paper that you were in daily communication with your counsel. You were not. 3 emails we received. That was it. I just want people to know everybody is trying, but when you get caught, just own up to your mistakes. Take accountability instead of putting the blame on us. But if anybody wants to know, there's the minutes that shows it all. So I stand by my decision to resend the reorganization plan.
Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we rescind the mayor's reorganization plan.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to rescind the mayor's reorganization plan. Council discussion. Don't care to discuss it.
I've already discussed it. Okay. I don't know what more I can say.
I didn't know if you had any questions for the city attorney. He is here tonight. I would advise you against this action. But nonetheless, if there's no further discussion from the council, I'll take public comment. Mr. Moore.
Okay. My name is Joe Moore, 514 Central. I just have a couple of questions. And obviously, since Councilman Holcomb brought it already up, I'll just ask. I mean, it was approved. This reorganization was approved January 10th, a 3-0 vote. You weren't here, Mr. Michelson. It says in the paper that you didn't know that a new police officer had been until you got an email where he was being sworn in, except that it was done way back in January when the beginning of this organization. And if I'm not mistaken, from what I read in the minutes, there was a chart that showed what the reorganization would have been like. And if I can just follow up with that one other comment, it says in the paper that you brought up that at the time, the council president had conveyed to you, someone, that some of the folks on the council, I'm assuming council members, didn't even read the entire plan before agreeing to it. So I'm not sure if an apology, or I'm not sure where you go with that, but if you haven't read your work before you're coming in and voting on something, that kind of defeats the purpose of saying, you know, somebody else has done something wrong and you haven't fulfilled your responsibilities. So I'll save the rest.
Any further public comment? Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stephensville. I'll have to come to my council members' rescue because communication is key and trust is key. And the fact, as a council member, it is our job to understand what is coming before us. And part of that job is to rely on the mayor to provide us with that data, i.e. the reports of cost association with those plans of reorganization. So for a council member to, shall we say, trust and allow it to be done, the figures need to be there. But those figures weren't there. Again, we get to when I was on council, We had to balance the budget, at least what we thought we were balancing. And, you know, we robbed from Peter to pay Paul, all across the whole public spectrum. And that's what we expect our treasurer to do, is to provide us with that data. That shows us how solvent we are as a community. Sometimes it gets difficult, as with the restrooms. We don't have money in our budget for restrooms at a public park, at our largest public park, again. So again, it comes down to budgeting and the mayor's responsibility to present these proposals with the proper documentation, with the proper layout of what you wish to do, and not just say, I want to do this, hope I can do this. We'll see if we can pay for it, maybe later on, if I can do this. When realistically, we should know what it's going to cost, know what we're going to get, and that way we can vote as a council, logically, for the community. And I'm not saying council members aren't at fault here either, because it does take time to do a good job for the community. And I'm just would like to say that communication has stagnated from the moment you seized emails. And for you to think emails is a good method of communication with the council you seized emails from is a little ludicrous. You speak about being open and honest.
Mr. Smith, I'd ask you to keep your comments towards...
Because this is your duty as the mayor. This is what we're speaking of as
please,
the mayor,
please keep it to the reorganization plan.
The reorganization plan. As mayor, you are responsible to bring forward these ideas. But you're also responsible to bring forward the data with them. And you're not. And so as far as communication goes, it is your fault that you're not doing that.
Any further public comment? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Next item is unfinished business B, discussion decision, council's direction to the mayor to open the town of Stevensville River Park fishing access site. Councilmember Michelson.
Good evening, council members, Mayor Dewey, members of the public. The mayor has been directed by this town council three times in 2018 to open the town's river park fishing access site and has yet failed to do so. The town's property is not presently being maintained as a recreational park. The town committed to the citizens of the town of Stevensville to maintain the river park and to keep the river park fishing access site open. The road to the park this winter has not been properly maintained during the spring. This led to fishermen parking on the side of the cutoff road, creating safety problems for all concerned. The town council requires the mayor to have the site reopened. The road maintained to the park and to the river park properly maintained. I would like to make a motion that the town council directs the mayor once again to have the Stevensville River Park fishing access site reopened and that it be properly maintained for public use immediately after the spring runoff has occurred, and that the mayor has provided a date on which the site will be reopened for the public in 2019, sir.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to that the town council directs the mayor to have the Stevensville River Park fishing access site reopened, and that it will be properly maintained for the public use immediately after the spring runoff has occurred, and that the mayor provides a date on which the site will be reopened to the public in 2019. Council discussion. How do you propose we pay for this? We don't have money for porta potties. And we don't have a floodplain permit to go in and mess around with the bottom of the river. Mr. Michelson?
It's my understanding that we do not need a floodplain permit. We discussed this last summer a couple times.
Doesn't solve the money issue.
It doesn't need to be open today. It can be open during our budget season when we're doing it. And as far as a porta potty, we made an agreement with the Fish, Wildlife, and Park to have a porta potty for those guys to work while they're doing the new one down there. And I don't think they're very happy right now if they have to go in the weeds to pee.
They haven't called. In fact, I've never signed such an agreement with them.
There was a letter to the effect.
Ms. Parker?
I believe it was also discussed at an open meeting that was done with the park board that was done up at the school. We also had a meeting here through the park board that said that we would have a open commitment to that as soon as they got the pit toilet going, then we would close down that porta potty as well. It was a standing relationship between them that would be there for use.
Okay. Mr. Michelson?
I have an open question, Mr. Mayor. Last year during the budget season, you and Chief Marble didn't have one problem coming before us at the very first budget meeting and telling us that you were making the police clerk part-time to full-time. In fact, you had already did it without our consent. There is no budget issues there. The police department is way over budget already. You still took it upon yourself to make it a full-time clerk.
I'd argue that public safety overrides that of recreation.
But pooping and peeing in public is not a public safety issue? I digress.
You provide advice on the budget, and not a single council member said we should have more money in the budget for porta potties. Ms. Holcomb?
So now you're blaming us again about the budget. When you brought the budget to us, you said the budget was in excellent condition. We had all this money, and I kept asking, did I not keep asking, where did all this money come from? And you kept saying, don't worry about it. We had the money. So now where did all the money go?
That's not what I said. Ms. Parker?
I guess when we did the budget for the park and for the porta potties and everything, we were told that those bathrooms would be up and running in time, and that's why we budgeted for what we did, and we were told it would be completed. And now we're still sitting here. Now we have no porta potties.
Correct.
So my thing is you can find money for snow removal, but we can't find extra money for porta potties?
The snow removal money came from gas tax, which the only thing you can use the gas tax money for is maintenance and replacement of streets. So I can't use gas tax money to put porta potties in the park.
Well, I think we need to find out where we can find some because of
the other issue with the porta potties was that yes, we anticipated having the project completed on time, and April's been working diligently to find a contractor who will work with us to get that project done. We're on our third contractor. Nobody will come and do plumbing for the town of Stevensville.
So why haven't we been notified that there was that issue prior to? We wouldn't be sitting in this situation.
I told you in an executive report some time ago that we were having a hard time finding contractors for that project.
I'd like to find those minutes, please.
Back to the agenda item, which is the discussion, decision, and the motion to reopen the River Park fishing access site. Any further council discussion? Mr. Michelson.
I've been walking down and I realize, yes, there's issues. There's a big hump there that needs to be filled in. There's that big tree down there that's right in the river that needs to be moved. That's going to take work. I also realize that George Thomas and his guys have their spring work coming on. I realize that they're over their head probably with maintenance and getting everything mowed. Memorial Day coming up. It'd be nice if we could find somebody, one more person for them instead of being so top heavy in the office. That's something we'll discuss during the budget. But we're bringing this up because it's unfinished business, and we believe until the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, they're still into their budget season with the Montana State Legislature right now. So they're not 100% sure that they're going to be able to finish what they told us they're going to do. So if we open the river fishing access site, of course, when the flooding goes down and we get things into manpower, then I think we could use that until they are happy or the town is happy with that fishing access. Because as we ran into last year, when they closed that portion off, everybody was down on the other end and they had to move everything around, and it got so congested, Brandon, that it was a mess. And we're just trying to look at both angles. And at the time, if it does time and everybody's happy with the new access site, then fine. Bring it before council, or we'll bring it up, and we'll make a decision to close the other one and go with the new one. But now, you said we don't even got a place to go bathroom down there, and everybody's already parking down in the big area. And the big outhouse and everything has to be tore down. Thank you.
Further council discussion. Public comment. Mr. Moore.
Mr. Smith, go ahead.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View. Again, as council member, I expressed to my fellow council members that this isn't a good idea. Financially, we can't afford it. Work-wise, we have, think about it, we have Glenn, Jeff, George, and the new gentleman that just started. Four guys to catch up on 4 months worth of work that wasn't able to get done during the winter. Okay, we have the fact that, yes, it's off topic, Mr. Mayor, but we're leaking 15 million gallons of water a month in our system. So I would highly recommend that we at least look at the realistic side of what we are requesting here as a council to proceed with. And I would highly recommend that we start communication with the state and see where they are at, i.e. that I thought the park board was doing that. But we should be in communication to find out before we waste money to open an access site that isn't really needed, because we fought to keep the access site open. The owner of the property, 401 property, has given up property to keep that access site open. To me, doesn't bode well for us as a community to reopen our access site. So again, if we can't afford porta potties, George and the crew is already taxed beyond limits. What and where do we do this with? And again, I would suggest that we table this issue, not request that this move forward, until we have a better understanding from the state on what their position or timeline is of their construction. Thank you, Council.
Further public comment, Mr. Moore.
Yeah. First of all, Joe Moore, 514 Central. First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Smith for his comments, because I'm in total agreement with much of what he just said. However, I would like to make a couple of suggestions. I'm probably going to come back to this a little bit later on, but I've sat here for the last couple of minutes, and I remind everybody that you've already approved the code of conduct, so hopefully you've already read through that, and you'll know what you're supposed to be doing in terms of how you're supposed to conduct yourselves in this meeting. I would like to remind everybody that the fishing access that we had, given what Mr. Smith just said to reinforce that, was a temporary fishing access at the time when it first came up, and that permitted went over, and we had a big discussion. I remember I was here for a big discussion about carrying that on. Why don't we have this fishing access? It was promoted by some other people, but we missed the deadline for renewing that. So I'm going to come back to another one. Besides the code of conduct, I'm going to remind everybody of their public service. I'm going to say, if you're looking for money, and you're really, I've already said this before, but I would really like to bring this back to you. If you really want to serve this town, you want to do something really generous, then it would behoove you as public servants to maybe use your honorarium to help support what you want. You don't need the money, you're a public servant.
Further public comments? Ms. Motley.
I guess it goes for the mayor, too.
I guess it does, Jerry. So keep that in mind, Jerry.
Point of order.
Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 9th Street. I would like to suggest also that the fishing access, that not be opened. To be very honest with you, I don't think that the boaters are going to use that site when the other site is open and available. The Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, to my understanding, was not going to change the boat access, so that won't go under construction. It will be the other parts of the park and the parking that they were going to tackle, but they were not going to take on the boat launch area. I think it's a waste of money. for the town to put money into redoing the fishing boat launch area when there's a perfectly good one and it's far easier to get in and out of than the cities.
Further public comment? Ms. Eckert?
Tanya Eckert, 106 College Street. You know, I'm going to have to agree as far as that back fishing access site. You know, I know it was a temporary site, and I know that Jim worked extremely hard for it and stuff. But since we do have the front area, you know, to use, you know, that is a better access site. My question is has the Fish and Wildlife already started on that? No?
No, we don't anticipate any work till this fall.
Okay. As far as, I think, as far as budget goes, that money needs to be spent here in town. And, you know, if we have any budget for any kind of hard stuff, it needs to be for a portable restroom on it where the kids play and stuff. My five-year-old had an accident today because she couldn't get home four blocks away because of that. So I would have to probably say no to that unless, you know, folks within the town would like to, you know, step up and maybe go down there and do it themselves, you know, have a cleanup day and clean that area up. That would be a suggestion instead of using town funds.
Mr. Cruz.
Jim Cruz, 316 9th Street, Stephenville. I talked to Roy Zerlin recently. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is not yet on that property down there at Boat Launch. Okay. I got a text from here that says we do not yet own the property. So they don't own it yet. The town has been, was given money to put in the temporary fishing access site in preparation to building a permanent fishing access site. And we've already gone in and looked at the minutes for the meetings to show that that was the original intent. That's why we put so much work into it for the floodplain permit. And I see a lot of heads shaking here. You don't know the whole story because you haven't looked into it. The fact is the council gave approval at the time to pursue a permanent fishing access site using the temporary fishing access site as a foothold to get that started. Not only did the town do the work, the town was paid by a private organization $1,000 to go down and do that work with the understanding that was exactly what it was for, was to start this whole process. In addition to that, the Boy Scouts went down there and went through the park and took care of all the park benches and all the table. They put quite a bit of work into it. And since then, we're just letting it go to waste. Okay, yeah, we got a fishing access site on private property owned by Milo. Okay, the town had a very nice access. It could have been used as an overflow access and to be used for rafters and kayakers. Because you're forgetting about those people. They don't necessarily want to go down and compete with a Dodge pickup truck with a loud muffler putting a boat in and out of the water. They like a little bit of solitude and quiet. And when we had that temporary fishing access site down there, I'd go down there about every day and there'd be people sitting out there in the river with their lawn chairs, with their coolers and their dogs and their kids and the rafts and the kayaks. Don't forget about those people. If you just want a permanent fishing access site for commercial fishermen, go ahead. But don't forget about the recreational boater. And that's something that happens in this state a lot. I just happen to be a member of a sporting group where we hovercraft, and we're not even allowed to get on the river. But duck hunters can get their boat and motor and go out there between October 1st in January 31st and go up and down the river with their motorboats. And I bet most of you didn't even know that. But they won't let a hovercraft do it And a hovercraft has less noise and less environmental impact than a boat does. So I just want you to know that money was put forward by a citizen, a group in this town, to build that access. We used town personnel to go out and do it, and we did it in one day. And it could have been maintained, and it should be maintained. You never give it up. And the other part of this is, that you may be forgetting this, is we went forth and went to the county and got the property across the river. It was donated to the town, and we have 5 years to put it to work. Otherwise, it gets to go back to the county. You want to lose that property, or you want to keep it? Because that piece of property across the river should be incorporated into the Stevensville River Park by resolution. It's something the council needs to do. And you're not doing that. You need to. Otherwise, you're going to lose that piece of property, because that is an alternate fishing access site that was used heavily during the summer 2 years ago. Thank you.
Further public comment? Any other public comment?
I talked with Kent today. He says they are negotiating with Fish and Game. They have 6 acres that they're negotiating with, but they are negotiating with some support that they will do out at the fort with Fish and Game. So it's not a done deal. He was right. But the access is there. So I don't see any reason for us to go spending money and do any more work.
And they do have a lease agreement currently. FWP does have a lease on that property. Any further public comment on closure of the fishing access site? Mr. Smith.
I would just highly recommend the council to table this issue until we, or you, or whoever, can get more data to make a more definitive decision whether it is necessary to reopen it. And look at the cost association with that before you make the decision.
Okay. Last call.
I would like to add, I'm Susan McCreary. I live at 417 Mission Street. And when my husband and I first came here, we used the little river park just to go down and eat lunch and enjoy. Like to watch birds. It's a beautiful place down there, just be by the river. Don't need a boat, canoe, anything. Don't need a fishing pole. It's a beautiful place to enjoy. Thank you.
All right, if there's no further public comment or council comment, then we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
No.
Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay. Motion fails 2-1. Let's take a quick recess, just for everybody a breather, and we'll turn the speakers down in the fire bay. So let's reconvene in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Council meeting for April 25th, 2019. We are on new business item 10A, discussion decision to cancel the regularly scheduled May 9th council meeting and authorizing payment of claims out of cycle. The town council will be attending the Montana Municipal Institute, which is held by the Montana Local Government Center out of MSU Extension, in Bozeman during May 7th through the 9th. And the three council members present tonight are all planning to attend that. As such, we won't be able to have a meeting on the 9th. You won't be back in time. So we've suggested that we cancel that meeting and pay claims out of cycle. We'll reconvene the next meeting in May. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we cancel the regular scheduled May 9th council meeting and authorize payment of claims out of cycle.
Is there a second? Mr. Michelson?
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to cancel the regularly scheduled May 9th council meeting and authorize payment of claims out of cycle. Council discussion. Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Next item is item B, 10B, council discussion decision regarding payment of claims and expenditure authorizations. Mr. Michelson?
Find it here.
We're on 10B.
Yeah, I know, sir. I don't seem to have my copy with me, sir.
There's a copy on the board if you need it.
Can you just go up? Okay. The approval of all claims is a requirement of the council. No claim may be paid without prior approval of the council. Generally, there are only three instances where the council suspends council rules to not hold a regular scheduled meeting. These dates are namely the second meeting in November, second meeting in December, and it has to do with Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday. The third time this may occur is during the month when the council may not be present due to a meeting such as the MMIA conference. In all cases, the council normally suspends council rules in order to cancel the meeting and authorize claims to be paid out of cycle. In all circumstances, there are claims to be paid without prior council approval. In addition, the purchasing policy shall be obeyed. No expenditure will be approved that is not properly budgeted and authorized in accordance with the purchasing policy. All claims to be presented to the council will be published with the council agenda as required by the council rules. If the claims need to be updated after initial publication, an amendment to the agenda by the mayor shall be published in less than 48 hours prior to the scheduled council meeting. Each claim to be submitted will include authorizing supervisor's name. If the quote is required by one or more vendors of the public service provider, the quotes will accompany the claim. With advance approval by the mayor or the council, written authorization or authorizing document will accompany the claim. Failure to adhere to council rules or purchasing policy may be resolved in disciplinary action. This copy is a reminder that should be placed in the resolution book of resolutions 361 and 387C. Suggested motion, I move that the town council approve the attached interpretations of resolutions 361 and 387C. And the reason I brought this forward is it has to do with the snow removal. And I understand, we all do, there was a discrepancy between the council and the mayor when he went ahead and did this. And during that time, he canceled the meeting to the council and went ahead and paid the out-of-cycle bills without council approval, which is a very bad thing to do. You can't do that. The mayor took it upon himself yet again, February 27th. Just to pay the out-of-cycle bills, and then let us know at the meeting afterwards that he had done so. We had no oversight to look at him, see what's going on. So this is just a reminder. That's in the past, of course. This is just a reminder to put this on there, to add it to the resolution, to give it a little more beef. It's not funny, Mr. Mayor. Don't sit there and smirk. This is serious stuff, sir. You broke the law here, and yet you sit there and smirk.
Mr. Michelson, to clarify, the reason we paid the claims out of cycle during the snow event was because we didn't want to incur any late charges on the bills. And so We paid the, I mean, it was a fluke situation. In my 6 years in working for this organization, we've never come across that type of situation before where we had a canceled meeting and needed to pay the bills out of cycle. So we just made do with what we had while still doing the rest of the things we still had to do on a day-to-day basis. It wasn't that we just, like, made up a snowstorm, tipped the snow globe upside down and said, well, now we're going to pay the claims. That's, I mean, it wasn't orchestrated like you're making it out to be. I didn't set out to do that. I made a decision with the information that I had in front of me. And that's why I sit in this chair, is to make those decisions when they're hard. And I was damned if I did and damned if I didn't. You'd have been pissed off at me if we incurred late charges. Why didn't you just pay the bills?
No.
You say that because it's easy to say that now. And hindsight's always 20/20. But I guess, don't make me out to be the villain here where I just set out to create a snowstorm so I could pay bills out of cycle. That's not what I was trying to do.
You're not the villain. You did not follow protocol or not follow rules, sir. You could have called a special meeting, which you should have did. None of this, we wouldn't be talking any of this. If you would have just called a special meeting, paid the out of cycle bills, asked the council for permission to get contractors, to get the snow removed, done. We wouldn't be discussing any of this. You took it upon yourself just to do it.
I suggested a special meeting in an email, and I was later scrutinized for that. And so then I just decided, you can approve the bills when we come to the next meeting.
Here, Dewey, I'm getting tired of your lies.
How's council proceeding?
I've already made a motion.
Could you restate the motion? Because it seemed like we were just reading what was on the screen.
I make a motion to move that the town council approve the attached interpretation of resolution 361 and 387C, sir.
Okay, is there a second? Ms. Holt?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to that the town council approve the attached interpretations of resolution 361 and 387C. Council discussion. Public comment. Ms. Spies.
Gretchen Spies, 3627 Highway 93 and 317 Main Street. I understand there was a problem with this. I understand that it was difficult to call a meeting at the time, but I didn't see any of you guys downtown while I and one other person were shoveling our butts off trying to keep our businesses open. And if there isn't a separate fund for emergencies, I've been here, like I said, 33 years, we've never had a snow event like this. We tried to keep our businesses open. If that snow had not been removed, we would have lost even more. We were already shut down for a week and a half. If a fire came through and you guys are not called, are we supposed to let the town burn down because you couldn't have a meeting to approve paying for fire department to come in? This is pretty ridiculous. This was an event that has never happened before. We have not had a dump, a continuous dump. We had a 3-foot dump years ago. That was nothing. That was a walk in the park. This, I mean, we had roofs coming in. We had real problems. We needed that snow removed. So either get a separate fund, make a ruling that in case of dire emergencies, and I feel that this is a dire emergency. I was here every single day, and I hardly saw anyone here in town. So either make a separate fund or a separate ruling where if there is a major emergency, then you can do this. Otherwise, criminy sakes, people, I would have been furious with the town because I pay a lot of taxes, guys, and it's your payroll that I'm paying. And if you're not keeping my street clear so I can have a business open, what are you doing?
Further public comment. Mr. Cruz?
Jim Cruz, 316 Ninth Street, Stevensville. That Main Street's a state highway. That one's supposed to do the snow removal.
Ms. Roach.
Maureen Roach, 418 Fox Hill Lane and 102 Main Street with the Main Street Association. You're right, Jim, it is a state highway. But if you were watching the news, MDT could not keep up with I-90 or with Highway 93. They had trucks break down. They had trucks that were pushed off the road when people hit them. We were way, way, way down on their priority list. We had people calling my office, the Main Street office, and sending Facebook messages to me, some at 9 o'clock at night, because they were snowed in and panicking. We had new residents to the town who had never seen anything like this. They were calling my office to try and find out where they could get help to get out. Many of the businesses communicated with me how grateful they were that the town took the initiative to get the snow out of the way. The piles were 6 feet high in the middle of the street. They couldn't be piled any higher. They had to be removed. I get it. I understand. There was a council meeting that was canceled. The council could have called their own meeting and gotten together.
No, we can't.
No, we can't.
You can't?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Or could have requested that it be uncanceled. But I guess the biggest concern I have, I've talked to, in the last 6 months, I've talked to two different businesses who were seriously considering coming to Stevensville and locating a business here and creating jobs here and becoming taxpayers here with new commercial businesses. And because of the situation and all the contention and all the conflict, they chose to go elsewhere, to another town in the Bitterroot Valley, even though they really wanted to be in Stevensville. Before I moved here, and I am new, I had a business where I worked with communities in 12 states. I've worked with dozens and dozens of communities all across the country. I've never seen anything like this. And I have to say, I don't know if it's something in the water. I don't know what the underlying issue is with the conflict. I understand that there are communication issues. But on behalf of the business community, many of whom don't want to speak out because they don't want to be targeted, either with threats or with people saying we won't do business with you because you're speaking out, but there are many, many businesses who are very frustrated that we can't, as a community, come together and say how can we solve these problems instead of being pointing fingers one way and the other. It's all of your job to solve these issues together, not to be doing an us and them thing all the time. And if there's something we can do as the Main Street Association to help, we would love to help. I actually have done mediation with other city councils in other communities, done conflict resolution workshops where there have been contentious issues. I'm willing to help, but we need to solve this because it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And this community can't afford this toxic atmosphere anymore. It's hurting our business community, it's hurting our businesses, and it's hurting our citizens, and most of all, it's hurting our kids who are seeing a bad example. So, again, I just want to say I know that there were issues with the money and with the way it was handled with the snow removal, but the business community and people who needed to get to the drugstore to get their medications, who needed to get to the doctor, they were very thankful that snow was taken care of because people had emergencies that needed to be dealt with. Thank you.
Okay, just a reminder for public comment. This is regarding payment of claims and expenditure authorizations as noted on the board.
I'm Sue McCreary at 417 Mission Street. Before the snow came, the mayor had listed all the snow removal equipment and all We're all ready to remove snow, except some of the equipment needed to be repaired. It wasn't repaired till the snow fell. So people came down our street with trucks and blades. One young man with his little son on a four-wheeler went through the alley for me. So it is a good neighborhood. People do help people, and I'm thankful for that. And just thankful that we didn't get 4 foot of snow.
Just to clarify, all of our equipment was in working order when the snow started to fall. The snowfall is what caused us to have to make repairs. Any further public comment? Ms. Eckert. Oh, sorry, Mr. Moore's up.
I'll go after.
Okay.
That's fine.
You're on deck.
You're good.
I don't want to get off the topic, but since we're going to get down to this one anyway, I just think it's appropriate to bring the code of conduct, since it's still in session. I want to remind council members, especially the council members, since I'm not supposed to address council members directly, I'll say the one to my immediate left, that elected, I'll point out the guidelines in this, which you've already approved. Elected and appointed officials have a responsibility to take the high road on conduct, to treat everyone as they would like to be treated. I think that also pertains to verbalizations, because free debate, it says in the following on B, it says, free debate does not allow nor justify public officials to make belligerent, personal, impertinent, slanderous, threatening, abusive or disparaging comments, such as calling someone a liar, a believer. And then further on down, it talks about practicing active listening, and see elected officials in public meetings. Active listening, it is disconcerting to speakers to have members not look at them while they're speaking. It is fine to look down at documents or make notes, but reading for long periods of time, gazing around the room, give the appearance of disinterest. Members shall try to be conscious of facial expressions and avoid those that are interpreted as smirking, disbelief, anger, or boredom. And please maintain an open mind. This is a great document. I appreciate what you've done.
Quite often. I'm like, hey, what's this? Hey, where'd this new police officer come? Hey, what's going in here? I'm constantly asking them. I have seen over the last little bit, communication is key. You've got to communicate, and I am not seeing that here. I'm not seeing that at all. It's frustrating for us as the town that the communication is lacking between our council and our mayor. And I'm not looking into your guys' emails or anything like that, but when I ask Stacy or Robin or whomever, hey, what's going on? I don't know, I gotta look into it. So I would step up the communication. As far as the snow and stuff goes, you know, I'm not saying that that was a bad issue, but I am saying that it could have been handled differently. There's a lot of spending going on, and I've heard in budget that we don't have budget for this, we don't have budget for that. Yet there's money for things, and I know that the police department, my understanding that the police department budget was for one officer was taken away, but now we've got it, and I don't think we're into the next fiscal year. But communication, guys, that's what we need. Like I said, I'm not looking into your guys' emails, but I'm seeing the lack of communication.
We have public comment. Ms. Adams.
Victoria Adams, 319 College and 610 East 2nd Street. I believe it is a two-way street, and I believe that if you're going to point fingers, you also need to point fingers at the mayor. I believe that there is a basic understanding that has been constantly not understanding. There's a basic law in the city that is the mayor works for the council. The council?
No.
No?
The mayor works for the citizens.
Right. However, the mayor needs to answer to the council. And nobody seems to hear that. The mayor needs to answer to the council. It has been a constant amount of disrespect. And that has been from the get-go. Once we understand that the mayor needs to answer to the council, it really sets things in a new light. And I just want everyone to understand that. Thank you.
Other public comment? Keeping it on topic, please. All right. Motion on the floor is to approve the attached interpretations of Resolution 361 and 387C. Call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Motion passes. New business item 10C, council discussion decision to restrict access to the town of Stevensville work areas. Mr. Michelson?
I don't have that with me here. Various members of the town council, members of the town staff, and citizens of the town of Stevensville have expressed discomfort and concern that small children have been allowed access to town work areas. There has also been a citizen discussion relating that one or more occasions that the town staff may have been utilized in the capacity as babysitters when the mayor is not present. Not in the immediate area or in the town hall has it been noted that the sounds of a playing toddler have been heard in the background during phone conversations with some members of town staff. It has also been noted that the toddler has been within the police department office where contact with firearms or other weaponry and hazardous materials is highlighted. Citizens have also complained to the town council. The town hall seems to be converted to a mayor's personal daycare, as noted by the presence of toys and childcare accompaniments within town hall. Several citizens have noted the toddler running loose in town hall, running up to the citizens while they are trying to conduct business with the town and calling him either daddy or mommy to alarm the town citizens. It is highly inappropriate to use taxpayer money for the personal benefit of any employee or elected official. It is, whatever, to theft of citizens' funded resources. Montana Code clearly states under Title II Code of Ethics, public trust, public duty. The holding of public office or employment is a public trust created by the confidence of the electorate responses in the integrity of police officers, public officers, legislatures, and public employees. A public officer, legislature, or public employee shall carry out the individual's duties for the benefit of the people of the state. It appears to many of the town citizens that some members of the town council that the mayor may be accepting a substantial economic benefit by using town hall as a personal daycare. And it appears that the mayor may be on occasion using town employees to provide daycare services when the mayor is not present. The appearance of a personal daycare being run in town is highly unprofessional and insulting to many of the citizens of the town who can barely afford daycare where they have to work. Some of the citizens of Stevensville have asked the question, if the mayor can use town hall as his personal daycare, why can't I bring my child to town hall and use the facilities myself? In summary, it appears that it would be a benefit to the town to prohibit the presence of children in the workplace with the exception of tours and special events. It is a safety hazard to have small children in a workplace and is inappropriate use of a citizen's resource to allow this sort of activity. And I'd also like to add that it is not illegal. There's no law in the state of Montana that says that you cannot bring your child into town hall. But they also state that it is highly unethical. And sooner or later, the odds are going to catch up with somebody where a child could get hurt. I understand, and Mayor Dooley, you can't be with your child in here 8 hours a day when you're doing business. We understand that.
And if something were to happen, the town would feel terrible, but the town is not liable. It's not liable whatsoever for whatever happens to your child in here. I personally think that it's unprofessional, and I think it puts a smear on all the hardworking people in this town that have to work two jobs to put their kid in daycare. But yet you have the right, in your eyes, to bring your kid in here for the last year or so, off and on, to watch it. And I understand you've stated many times you cannot afford it. But that choice was yours, nobody else's. And I'd like, just like to say that I'd like to put this on here to bring it before a vote, because I've had three people, and one said that I could call his name. His name is Craig Thomas. He came in here one day, and your child went up to him and grabbed him, wrapped himself around his leg, and said, "Daddy, Daddy, you're my daddy." And Craig said, "No, I'm not your daddy." Mrs. McCrary will testify to the fact that she was here a couple times, and your boy came up to her and called her Mommy, Mommy. I just don't think that's the right place to raise a kid in town hall. That's not, it's just not professional. Thank you.
Ms. Parker?
I would just like to say I had some citizens also saw a post on your Facebook that has also gone viral through the town with Denise Phillies laying on the floor in the office with your child. We pay these employees to work, not to play with the kids.
Ms. Holcomb.
And I've had citizens address me as well, call me on my cell phone while I'm at work, call me at work, come into my job. And I brought it up before, but all I got, the last time I tried to bring it up, I got screamed at by you to never bring your son's name up at or son's at the table. I understand it's not written in code or not written in the policy that you can't bring your child, but any job, it's not written in policy. I would have loved to take my have taken my kids to work with me when they were little. I just feel it's too much of a liability, well, not to the town, but it's a liability. If your child should get hurt or anybody should get hurt if they trip over them or trip over the toys, I just don't think this is a place for your child to be.
Further council discussion. Just to clarify, not necessarily in defense of myself, but so that you understand and folks here tonight understand my situation, if you'd call it that. It's not necessarily that I like to bring Carter to work, the toddler you refer to. I bring him intermittently because there are generally issues that need to be taken care of. This week, I needed to prepare for the council meeting for tonight. I didn't have a clerk to prepare the binder. I didn't have a clerk to prepare the agenda. I didn't have a clerk to prepare a packet. I had to figure out how to do that. And my only option is to bring him with me. I don't like to do it. It's not something I like to do. I prefer he go elsewhere. And there are times I can make arrangements for him to do other things or go someplace else. But there are also times I can't do that. And so I guess what I've done is I've put the needs of the citizens above the needs of my son almost and said, well, we're just going to make this work. It's not the best situation, but we're going to be solution-oriented about it and we're going to do the best we can. Nobody likes it. I don't like it any more than you, and I'd have the same concerns if I were in your shoes. I do have concerns. I don't like to do it. But at the last meeting, I was chastised because I hadn't responded to an email for over a week. When I went back and looked at it, it had been 3 days. I can't do it all. So either you allow me to scale back the workload under the mayor's office and so that I don't have to come into the office as often,
or you accept that, Carter may have to come in with me occasionally. I mean, those are the options we're faced with, and I don't like it any more than you do. I dread it, and further, nobody's ever come to me and popped their head in my office, and my office door is generally open, and said, "What are you doing with Carter here? That's not good." Nobody said that to me. And we get on Carter's case because he calls everyone mama and dada, and that's alarming. Well, Carter only knows about 5 words right now, you guys. 2 primarily he uses, mama and dada. Every male in his life right now is dada. So you're chastising a toddler because he only knows a handful of words. I just don't know when this stops, you guys. I'm fine not bringing Carter in, but understand that I'm not coming in either. That's what you're asking. You're saying, if you can't bring him to work, then... And I'll make arrangements, usually, to be able to be in to have meetings and not have a toddler interruption meeting. But that's not always available. So, right now, if I can't bring Carter to work, for example, this week, then the staff won't see me until 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And then it'll be, right now, it stands, unless I arrange childcare, it won't be until 1 o'clock the following Friday that they see me. Ms. Holcomb.
I can understand occasionally that something comes up, but I'm hearing it all the time. And the ones I hear from, you're not here to tell you that. I've been told that your child is running around and you're nowhere to be found.
That's not true.
So that's what I'm being told. I'm just being told, I am expressing what other citizens have told me. So, and that's what we're here to do.
And I guess a solution to that would be, Robin, just ask me about it. You can shoot me a text or make a phone call to me. If you're getting a phone call at work, call me right away and say, "Hey, just so you know, this is the concerns I'm hearing. I'm not going to bite your head off. I'll bite your head off when you bring it up in a public forum and make me out to be the villain for it. That's when I have a problem with it." Ms. Holcomb.
I have sent you emails on questions before, and I've gotten chastised. I've gotten some rude comments back. So that's why I don't. That's why I don't email you, because every time I have sent you an email asking you a simple question, you have come back with some kind of smart remark. So I don't need that. I'm just coming to you what I've been hearing. And like I said, I can understand if it's just once in a great while because something happens, but I'm hearing it's all the time.
Well, and frankly, it hasn't been all the time. It has been more frequent because of the workload you're putting in. And there's just there's no time to keep up on all this stuff that you guys are throwing on our plates and creating these types of agendas. I mean, this is a huge agenda. And there's other things going by the wayside that aren't getting done because of the time constraints. And when we lose staff members that are critical to the operation, it compounds the problem and makes it worse. And so, you know, I just ask that you have some empathy for that. I also will reject that Carter's never been here unattended without me here. Carter's always within earshot. Always.
I'm just expressing what other people have told me.
All right. But, I mean, also think about it logically. Does it make sense for a parent to just leave their kid at City Hall and then haul off someplace? I mean, I hope you know me better than that, and that I've worked in this organization for 6 years and demonstrated my loyalty and integrity to the citizens, clearly, because I've been elected. And so to accuse me of just using town hall as a daycare, I don't think that's fair. But the council is faced with this item and whatever decision they make tonight. Is there going to be a motion?
I move that the town council restrict access. That doesn't make sense. I move that the town council restrict access to the town of Stevensville work areas by all children, with the exception of tours and special events, which accompany by reasonable adult supervision, and that the appearance of the maintenance of a child care or daycare facility in town hall be prohibitively eliminated. Or promptly, I'm sorry, promptly eliminated.
Excuse me, Mr. Michelson.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the town council restrict access to the town of Stevensville work areas by all children, with the exception of tours and special events, when accompanied by responsible adult supervision, and that the appearance and of the maintenance of a child care or daycare facility in town hall be promptly eliminated. Further council discussion. Public comment.
Yeah.
Mr. Moore?
Of course. First of all, I would remind everybody that that we're not a metropolitan area and we are a small town and we try to be caring for one another. So I think this whole thing is pretty spiteful. But be that as it may, I'm reporting to my council ward people that I live in Ward 1. I've been in the council's chambers. I've been in the city hall a number of times. I have no problem with the baby. I have no problem with Carter. I've never had a problem. And the Facebook page picture I saw, I thought it was very endearing. It probably has a little more warmth to what we're supposed to be about rather than what we're acting like now. I would also just like to make one comment. I find it, there's a comment in the statement that talks about highly inappropriate to use taxpayer monies for personal benefit of any employee or elected officials. The word is tantamount. It's tantamount to the theft of citizen funded resources. I believe that's what it was. It's down here. Is this the one? Tantamount to theft. So really, what I have is a clarification. I'd like clarification from. I don't know. You didn't get accoutrements either, Mr. Michelson. So I'm not sure you wrote this, but I would like to get a clarification as to whether or not you're accusing the mayor of theft. Tantamount, accusing him of theft.
Mr. Michelson.
Then he can clarify. Point of order.
Are you accusing me of
no, you
him of theft? No, I'm not. That's the state law, sir.
The state law is down below.
No, it is appropriate to use taxpayer money for personal benefit or any employer or elected official to establish or accept the citizen's fund. What that means is if an elected official is using town monies, taxpayers' monies, for personal use,
right,
then that is theft of government money.
How is he doing that? That's what I'm asking.
Okay. He has a child in here. What's to say that Vicky over there, Mrs. Adams, cannot bring her daycare in here? What's to say she cannot? Okay?
She's not working here.
It makes no difference. This is a government building paid for government taxpayer money. Anybody can come in here.
Right? Excuse me, gentlemen. I would ask that you keep the tone of your conversation, although it's completely out of order, that we keep it civil, please, and respectful. Ms. Brooks.
I don't remember exactly the wording now because I don't see it, but the way this reads right now is that no one can bring a child with them when they come in to pay their water bill.
That's right.
That's correct.
It says no children allowed, right, except on special events and tours. So now are people supposed to leave their children unattended in a car?
Yeah.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No.
That's what you're saying.
Mr. Michelson.
We have an access resolution coming up that will explain all this. If you please all, please be patient.
I think the challenge, Mr. Michelson, is that you're making a decision here, and then now down the meeting you're going to make another decision that may be in conflict with this decision, and people are confused as to which decision is going to be the one that we're enforcing. Are we barring the door to children, or are we going to follow an access control policy that, in my opinion, okay, is unenforceable?
Okay, sir. This is what we can do, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I would ask the council to rescind this. In other words, vote no on this. Okay? To clear up all the miscalculations, the confusion, I'm asking the council to vote no on this one. This one right here. And then on the resolution, which I will read, the access resolution, it will give access to kids in this thing here. But it will not give access to people to stay here and in private sensitive areas.
Okay. So one solution to this is that perhaps Ms. Holcomb would like to just withdraw her motion and then we move on.
Withdraw your motion, please.
Ms. Holcomb.
I'm withdrawing my motion.
And who seconded the motion? Mr. Michelson, you concur?
I concur.
Okay, the motion's been withdrawn. There will not be a vote held. Is there anything further on this item before we dare move on to the next? Okay. Excuse me, everybody. I'm hanging in there. Mr. Michelson.
To keep this fresh, I would like to suspend council rules.
Okay.
And I would like to move item that has to do with the access.
Well, it's the exact same next item.
Okay, it's D.
I did that on purpose for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So, with that, we'll move on to item D, new business, 10D, council discussion decision. They withdrew the motion. Thank you. Discussion decision, draft review of proposed access control resolution. Mr. Michelson.
Okay. I would like to council to review, amend, and recommend the access control resolution that I've drawn up to go forward for approval. The resolution is a resolution establishing access control authorization to governmental buildings and work areas in the town of Stevensville. As you know, this town has never had anything in writing as far as access. It's been pretty much a given that staff, mayor, used to be council members, and people could go behind the restricted areas, the police department, any office, in the mayor's office to talk business. But for some reason, that got out of whack, and we're at the end of that. This here is a resolution that sets in place the coming and going of the people. Now that we have the safety window, sorry, sir. Then I thought we would make a resolution that would be more concrete to see who can come in and out of the restricted areas. Whereas the Town Council for the Town of Stevensville recognizes the need to control access to sensitive areas of town government buildings, facilities, and work areas of the Town of Stevensville, Montana. And whereas it is a power of the Town Council of the Town of Stevensville, Montana, in accordance with 75-4101, to initiate a resolution regarding the management of the affairs of the town of Stevensville, Montana. And whereas the town and the mayor of Stevensville has instituted policies not in accordance with the powers of the office of mayor as delineated in 7-54102 by locking the town council out of the administrative areas of the town hall and restricting access to records needed for everyday functions of the town council for the town of Stevensville. And whereas the mayor of the town of Stevensville has allowed access of areas of the town hall to persons who are not members of town government. And now therefore be it resolved by the town council of Stevensville that the attached access control policy shall determine who may have access to town government buildings, facilities, and work areas in the towns of Stevensville, Montana. 1. Town of Stevensville, Montana access control policy. This policy has been written to delineate who may have access to the town government buildings, facilities, and work areas of the town of Stevensville. Access to specific areas of the town are as follows. Administrative office, limited employee access, general access authorized only for the administrative staff. Limited access by the judge and town attorney while on official business. Public works employees, town department heads, and volunteers may not access the administrative office after normal business hours. During business hours, access is authorized to conduct routine business only. Otherwise, non-administrative staff should remain outside of the administrative office area. Limited access by the public, by appointment only, or by invitation regarding official business. Limited access by temporarily authorized personnel, such as auditors or other temporary authorized personnel, such as board members, committee members, etc. B, access by county elected officials. All elected officials shall have unlimited access to all areas of the town of Stephenville, with the exceptions noted below. The judge's office. Access shall only be controlled by the judge. No one shall enter the judge's office without express written permission granted by the judge. No exceptions. The police department office. Access shall be limited by the chief of police. The chief of police shall develop an access control policy, which shall be submitted to the town council for approval and shall be posted on all access points to the police department. Airport areas. Airport areas are temporarily restricted by the airport manager on Heli, Fire Base Commander. C, utilities office, water, wastewater facilities, and other town work areas. The supervisor of the Public Works Department shall post all utilities offices, water, wastewater facilities, and other town work areas as the access control requirements for all operating work areas of the town under the purview of the Public Works Supervisors. All elected officials of the town have the responsibility to check with the Public Works Supervisor regarding the requirement of access to control and determine the safety requirements for access. For example, the need for a hard hat, eye and earring protection, escorted access, or other safety requirements. Airport access. The town of Stephenville Airport is a public airport, and therefore access to all areas of a public airport are subject to access by all members of the public, with the following exceptions. All private hangar construction areas are controlled by the leaseholder. All airport construction areas are controlled by the contractor engaged by the town to perform construction activity. The snow removal equipment building is restricted access. Airport personnel and the fire department and elected officials shall be authorized access. Exceptions will be made by the airport manager only. Should the airport be used as a heli or fire base, access to those areas shall be controlled by the airport manager or the heli fire base commander. The fire department. Access to the town fire department, engine bays shall be restricted to the members of the fire department and volunteer staff, with the exception of authorized tours and elected officials. Children. Children may have access to town hall and other areas of the town hall only during tours and other authorized events.
Would be paying a bill being an authorized event?
Let him finish, please.
My bad.
Keeping one's child in town hall is not authorized other than the breastfeeding policy established by the town of Stephenville. Town buildings and facilities are a professional work environment and therefore are not suitable for children. That should cover the area. Thank you.
I would council like to proceed with the resolution. Ms. Holcomb.
I just have one question before I move. Has this been seen by our town attorney?
Why, yes it has. Mr. West, you're up.
The mayor did ask me to review this policy, and I would sincerely urge the council not to adopt it as written. I have not provided a written review of it, and I would be happy to do so if either the mayor or the council president wants to ask me to do so. But I question, there's a number of issues raised as applied that I could start to point out right now that I think would be more effective for the town as a whole if I detailed them in writing for the council. If this is put into effect, it will create a number of access issues for members of the public. Will create a number of administration issues for employees of the town. And I generally question whether or not the general grant given to the council extends that sort of nuance for day-to-day operations, which are typically the mayor's authority. I'm not saying the town can't adopt some level of a policy, but I do have concerns with this as written.
Thank you.
Mr. Michelson.
So you're saying we should bring this to you for review, or you think this is not even acceptable as written?
I would encourage you not to adopt it as written. I know the request is put up for the next council meeting for adoption, but I think that this needs to be more thoroughly vetted both by myself, by the council, and by the mayor's office before action statement.
So in other words, table it? bring it to you.
You can do whatever you want with it, but my encouragement is not to carry it forward.
Not to adopt this as is.
Correct.
Mr. Michelson?
All right, then. I'd like to make a motion that the council table this. We'll redo it, and then we will bring it before the city attorney for review and bring it back to, before the council for a vote at a future time.
Okay. Is it okay if I take some liberty with your motion and paraphrase?
Sure.
To say that the motion is to table this until a future time?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to table the draft review of proposed of the proposed access control resolution until a future date.
Correct.
Okay. Council discussion on tabling. Public comment. Oh, sorry, Stacey, didn't mean to cut you off there.
I think it should go to a council meeting as discussion.
Okay.
So that we can actually maybe go through it a little bit more in detail, and maybe each of us can put an input in that, along with maybe something the mayor can put in input for too.
My suggestion would be that you follow through on tabling it, and then work through this draft and get some written response from Brian so that you can incorporate that into a draft that you can bring to the CAL meeting. That way you're not having a CAL meeting, Brian's reviewing it, you're coming back to a CAL meeting to consider his recommendations. Now you're just getting right into whatever Brian recommends. Okay? Is that acceptable?
I'm okay with that.
Any further council discussion on tabling? Public comment on tabling the item? Okay, if there's
aye.
I'm sorry?
Aye.
Thank you. There's a seat open. If there's nothing further, then that's not what I meant.
Just saying.
Very ambitious, so I appreciate that. So if there's nothing further, I'll call
ambitious,
for the
no.
Call.
Yes.
Call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
And I love my beer.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay. We'll reconsider this at a date at which Mr. Michelson brings it back forward. Item E, 10E, discussion. Town Council is to discuss the benefits of consolidating the offices of Town Clerk and Finance Officer into one office, with the addition of a Deputy Clerk. Mr. Michelson?
Okay. This item came before because after our last clerk resigned, I asked you if you were going to advertise for Ms. Clerk. You stated you were not at this time. So I decided to go ahead. It's a discussion that hasn't been done for years. It's not a decision, it's just a discussion, an open discussion between the council and the public. Consolidating the treasurer and the clerk back into one position. As you well know, if you've all lived here many years, this is the way it's been. It used to be done up until 2000, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something, I don't remember, 10. And we have a budget season coming upon us, and you people don't attend the budget meeting with public. You elected us to do the budget to the best of our ability, and last year, I won't get it up to the next agenda item, but last year it was a fiasco. We were $125,000 over budget. And
is this 2010?
Excuse me, point of order.
Sorry. I didn't hear it.
We were $125,000 over budget last year during our budget season, and we had to make cuts, which the mayor and the treasurer did a good job, but through all the fiasco, and all the back and forth between the council and the mayor, there came out that, this isn't a rumor, it got to us that the council cut a cop. My wife heard it from staff members. I heard it from a staff member that a council cut a cop. I knew it didn't happen because we went to the budget, we've seen the budget. And it wasn't until October 24th, out back, that the chief of police confessed to me and said that the city staff made an error, that the council did not in fact, cut a clock, that the mayor and the treasurer went to the chief of police and asked him to reduce his budget by one cop to balance the budget. Okay, that's great. We didn't have a police force at the time. Sir, let me finish.
Okay.
And the reason I brought this up is now we have a full police force. A full police force that's not budgeted. We don't have the money for a budget to do this new police cop. Yes, we need him. We need him for the safety of the
town. Guys, let me, before everybody erupts and says point, just please, just stop. Just, no, you can't right now. I'm sorry, it's not time for public comment. But instead of everyone erupting every time somebody's out of line and saying point of order, just let me handle it, please. It's frustrating the hell out of me that everyone erupts because it trickles through the room. Just everybody take a breath. I'll handle it when he gets out of order. Okay? It's not necessarily a point of order. It's he's out of order, and I have this to stop it.
I apologize, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for your apology. Mr. Michelson, please continue.
Okay. That's the main reason I brought this up. It isn't because a clerk, we don't need a clerk, we need a clerk by law. We need a clerk for him. He stated it earlier. He has to do the agenda. He has to learn to do these things. We do not have a clerk. The treasurer is busy. She has to do getting ready for the budget season. It's the busiest time of year for this town. I understand that. But when the mayor says he's not hiring a clerk at this time, okay, that's his decision. I brought this up. Two reasons. One, to get a clerk. And number two, to help ease the workload on the money so we could have another cop. That's the bottom line here. No other one. We don't have the money unless we make cuts. He can spin it any way he wants. We can spin it any way we want. The bottom line is we have to make a cut. Doesn't necessarily have to be here, but it's just a discussion to say the pros and cons of consolidation. And if this doesn't work, great. We go back to the original way. But we need to find money, folks. We need to find money in this little town. This town isn't really fiscally solvent right now. I'd like wish to say it was. I wish we had money falling out of our butts, but we do not. He made a point tonight, we ain't got money for bathrooms. Yet we have money for a cop, an extra cop, which is non-budgeted for right now. So I don't know where we're getting the money for that. I don't. He hasn't told us.
I outlined it in the rear.
I have the floor, please, sir.
Okay.
So that's the reason I brought it on. And past clerks have been able to do it. Stacey Bartlett was able to be a clerk and a police clerk. She didn't like being a police clerk. It was heavy and burdensome. I understand that. We have a part-time one now for 16 hours a week. Obviously, we have to keep her because we don't have a clerk. And to me, this comes down to money. And everything around this thing here, it comes down to money. The bottom line on a town's budget is money. If we could make it, fine. If we can't, we have to make cuts. And I think I see serious cuts coming. If we want to keep three police officers, and granted, we're not getting a grant anymore for that one, which was paid for earlier last year. That grant went away. So that comes out of this town's pocket now. Where are we going to find the money for that pocket for this extra police officer? I don't know. I have to rely on our mayor and our treasurer to work to find a way so we can have that cop. But yet in the meantime, we have a clerk, a treasurer, a general services clerk, and we also have a full-time police clerk, and we also have a 16-hour clerk. So we have clerks. But yet we don't have clerks. Thank you.
Ms. Van Tassel, are you just dying to speak to the financial status of the town of Stevensville in regards to these positions? If you're not, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know that there's a lot of things floating around that you might want to correct. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I will.
Okay.
I
I don't remember the date where we had the discussion regarding this reorganization plan, but what I do remember is that I stood up here and I told you that we wouldn't be doing this if we couldn't afford it. There is money in the budget to hire a police officer, to hire a part-time court clerk, and to maintain the staff that we currently have. I don't know where all of this is coming from, but all of a sudden, it's such a mess, but we have the money. I wouldn't have approved it. I wouldn't have encouraged the mayor to do it if we didn't have the money. Know that.
So to that point, when we talk about, well, where did the money come from for this extra officer, there was obviously vacancy savings throughout the year, and that's how we made the budget work this year in accomplishing some things that we won't necessarily do next year. Excuse me. The reorganization plan had a chart in it that showed you exactly where the money, physically, where the money was coming from to fund the positions. We were reducing some funding at the swimming pool because we saw savings there where we didn't necessarily need the excess that was in salaries and wages. We saw a salary savings with a public works staff member. And so we made it budget neutral, which is why we didn't need a budget amendment in order to do the plan. So where did the officer come from? Where did the money come from? It came from being from efficiencies elsewhere in the organization that we exploited and said, we're going to put these efficiencies to work for us. And that's, so that's how we funded those positions. If I can speak to the concept of combining the town clerk with the finance officer, Mr. Michelson, I don't think it's that far-fetched of an idea that you know to look for those types of efficiencies. However, having been involved in the organization as long as I have and seeing the positive things that come out of having those positions separated, I do think that they need to remain separate. And one thing that I think speaks to that is that part of the reorganization plan was saying, look, having the court clerk and town clerk as one person was very problematic in terms of workload. This time of year is a good time of year to use it as an example. April really doesn't have much time for much else other than the budget. We're full into the budget. So to pull her away from that and have her do town clerk duties, which we've justified as a full-time position in this organization over the years, and strive to go that route, I think that's a step backwards, and it would do the organization and the public a disservice in terms of how quickly we can get our budget done and how much attention we can give our budget. We can't afford not to give it any attention because of how tight it is. And the other thing, I'm sidetracking a bit here, but I think it's important. There is a distinct difference between spending authority in the budget and cash. Okay? And when we say spending authority, and we talk about, well, the mayor doesn't have that kind of a spending authority. Based on the budget you approved, I have a spending authority of, what, $3 million? You approved spending authority of $3 million. You say, executive branch, here's the money that you're allowed to spend within these limits, right? And here's the top limit. Don't spend outside of that. And we go forth and pay the power bills and do all the other things under that limit. When we exceed that limit as the executive branch, we come back to the legislative branch and say, we're going to exceed the limit. Is that okay or is it not okay? You say it's okay. We find a way to pay for it with cash. Okay? So when you look at the budget, that isn't necessarily the cash we have. And so when we say, well, why aren't the bathrooms in? And we say, well, we don't have the budget for that. It's because we haven't budgeted the cash. Now, if a council wants to make a decision to spend the 40% reserve we have put away in the general fund to buy 50 porta potties down at the park, that's your decision to do that. You just need to make that budget amendment to do so and give us the spending authority to inquire the bill. That's the difference. There's the difference between spending authority and cash. I digress. I don't think that moving the town clerk and treasurer into the same position again is a wise move. I think it's okay the way it is. I think that our energy would be better spent into resolving the conflict that exists between our branches, that as a byproduct means we can't retain anybody in that position. Any further discussion? I realize there's no decision tonight, so if there's any further discussion, okay. Move on to item F then. Council discussion decision to direct the mayor not to use zero-based budgeting process during the 2019-2020 budgeting process, and that the upcoming budget shall be documents and published by line item for the general public and council. Mr. Michelson.
Last year during our zero-based budgeting season, something happened that the mayor wanted to do. He wanted to start out with zero-based budgeting, which was, it caught this council off guard. Robin and Stacy are going on our fourth year. Robin's been here since time began. And not 8 years in exact, but she, every year, it has always been line item by line item, and you go back a year or two to see where you're at, so you get a grasp of which department spent what they're going into. Last year, of course, I won't get into it, but there was a lot of bars and graphs, a lot of numbers thrown at us with nothing here, nothing to look at here. There was some stuff here, but it was mass confusion. And we, at the end of the first meeting, we asked the mayor to go back to the line item. He refused to do so. The next meeting got worse. And by the time the third meeting came, the council just never came. We never came to the budget meeting at all, because this has been an ongoing thing. It isn't new. The rift between the mayor and the council really came to a head last year during the budget season. When a council does not show up for a budget meeting to discuss town business, then there's a big problem. We directed him to go back to the line item. He still refused to. And up to the end, he would not budge. So this year, I put in, the council does not want to do the zero-based budgeting. I know it's a new thing. I know, as you stated, a lot of towns do it, this and that. But we would like to look at the numbers. We would like to go back, and we would like to do it the old way. And it shouldn't be a problem for you, because the numbers are there anyway. All you do is take the numbers and plug them into a bar graph and everything and make it look fancy. We want to just look at the old-fashioned numbers, sir. We want to see what's spent. We want to see what was spent the year before and the year before that by each department head, so we can get an idea on the upward or downward trend. We just like to look at the numbers. Instead of bars and graphs that have little pie charts and that we don't understand. It doesn't really show us anything. Thank you.
I thought she maybe left. We provided them with the worksheets, did we?
We did.
Okay, so the numbers sheets that you're asking for, mm-hmm. we did provide those after the first meeting.
Yes.
The worksheets. Now, we don't publish those for public consumption unless they're asked for. I mean, if a member of the public came in and said, we want the worksheets. We give them the worksheets. That's fine. We just don't publish them because, as many pointed out, those are confusing sheets to work from. There's a lot of information there. There's four fiscal years of data previous to the current fiscal year. So the reason for the graphs and the other things that we did on the screen was really for the public's benefit and for your own to get a larger grasp of the budget and where we stood. So that was the rationale behind the changes last year. If you want to work from the worksheets, that's fine. We'll give you the worksheets. Just understand the worksheets aren't going to be what's published on the website. The final budget document that's on the website today is what we'd like to publish, because it's a much more comprehensive document that really shows or demonstrates to people what we're doing, you know, in a larger scheme. Now, to this agenda item, I've had a conversation with the city attorney, and I think he can... He's still here, right? Yeah. You guys are hiding back there. Stop it. Maybe he can clarify where the lines are as far as authority and how the budget looks. Brian, you know where I'm going?
So, state law really governs this, and the mayor is directed to create a preliminary budget and submit it to the council for approval. So there's a separation of powers. What I can advise the town right now is the mayor can prepare the budget however he sees fit, but ultimately the council has to approve it. So somewhere in there, the mayor and the council is going to have to see eye to eye and get a budget approved. I can't say that the council can force the mayor not to use zero-based budgeting, and I also can't say that the council has to approve what the mayor presents to them. So I encourage both the council and the executive branch to What's the theme for that? Communication?
Yes.
Listen to each other? So, the mayor's task was preparing the preliminary budget, and I believe that the mayor's going to put on notice that the council would like to see some additional information when presented with whatever budget he does create. And so, when it is formally presented to the council, hopefully it'll be in a format that the council's able to easily digest, and easily vet, and easily approve. So that's an answer without any definition, I understand.
No,
that's the reality of the situation.
You've mastered that. Thank you. Mr. Michelson.
So what I'm hearing is you'll present it with us with the numbers, and you're fine with that. But yet you'll put bars and graphs up for the public to see it, if that's what you just said. Am I correct?
No, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. I don't have a problem with you put out to them. But yeah. During the budget meetings, we'd like to see the numbers. Am I correct, Ron? Mm-hmm. Am I correct? Yep. We asked that last year. Mm-hmm.
And you received those reports last year. We provided those to you.
No.
So we did. And I mean, they were in the Dropbox and everything for you. It's just a matter of whether you went and retrieved those or not. But we'll provide them again this year. Just know that what I have an issue with, and communicating this to you, what I have an issue with is council coming to the table and directing me how to do my job with the budget, which I am in full authority to decide how, on a day-to-day basis, we operate within the budget. Especially when, and I think all of our department heads can attest to this, whether they liked the product, because it was growing pains, believe me. Not all of them were on board, but they all eventually got on board with how effective zero-based budgeting was. And one of those departments, which constantly comes up at this table that, oh, they're overspending, is the police department. This has tremendously helped the police department get down to the penny on things. And so we're taking that a step further. Warning shot. This year, where we're not necessarily, as an administration, we are not necessarily focusing on the material things that we purchase. We're not going to focus on the number of rubber boxes or rubber bands we buy. We're not focusing on that necessarily as much as we are on outcomes for our community. How are we being productive for the community? Are we meeting our call for services in the police and fire departments? Are we meeting the needs for citizens in our parks and recreation departments? What are we doing to improve things on a much more objective scale of saying, here are our goals for the year in our budget versus saying, well, here's what we're going to buy with your money. So you'll see some more narrative this year. And of course, this is a model that's being adopted nationwide and has been in place for a long time for a lot of municipalities. And so, somebody said, well, we've always done it this way. Well, we're evolving. We're not changing. We're evolving. It's time to modify things so that we don't get stuck with a troublesome budget every single year, and we can grow. So, Ms. Barker?
I guess me as a citizen going in and looking under the financials and seeing what we have had in the past, it shows the expenditures, budgets, the multiple years, and now all of a sudden we go to this
new zero budget with the graphs, not everybody understands that. To look at this here that I have on my screen is easier to understand than the graphs.
Just to clarify, the budget that was adopted this year is not a zero-based budget. Zero-based budgeting is a practice you use to develop a budget. So when you pull the final budget document up, that's not necessarily a zero-based budget. In theory, any budget we adopt would be a zero-based budget if we use the zero-based budgeting principles. It's a method. It's not necessarily a form. Okay, just to clarify that. So there are lots of people who prefer the hard numbers and like that, and that's okay. They can request those from us. But we're trying to, again, make things a little bit easier in the office, and the budget that we adopted last year was much more simpler. We didn't have to go back through. How many pages is that budget form that we have to do for the state?
93.
But we didn't have to do that this year because we adopted a different budget format. Form was different that we adopted. You still get the worksheets. We can print worksheets all day long as we keep the paper stocked. That's fine. Okay. Is there anything further? Did we make a motion? Was there a motion on the floor? I don't recall.
I don't think we need to do a motion if we're...
We're not going to do anything? Okay. So there won't be any public comment. I apologize. We're going to move on to... Item G. Discussion decision to rescind resolution 444.
Okay. This resolution has to do with what Mr. Moore was talking about. This has to do with the code of conduct. And although it was good at the time, I didn't vote for it. I didn't agree with it because state law trumps.
Folks, yes. Let's keep it down, please.
State law trumps this. Montana Non-Annotated Code 217, Part 1, Code of Ethics. This here is what all council members, all public officials go by. This here, as Mr. Phillips brought up, it is a great idea, don't get me wrong. And a lot of good things in it. But this here was conducted out of Great Falls, Billings, Missoula, the bigger cities that have 12, 14 council members and numerous committees and boards. And if you really break down and want to read this, it's broke down for those people and those committees and all those little subsections in there. It's not really for little towny charters like this town. And I'll be honest, I didn't like the fact that the night that this was approved, the next morning there was a complaint filed against a council member over this. So, to me, that sent a red flag. I think we would be far better because in the end, if it comes to push to shove, this will outdo this. This is Montana law. This is just something we put up in the town, made a resolution. It has good things for it, but in the end, this trumps it. And I think it would be downladen with too many laws and too many people come forward with different ideas and then pretty soon everybody's confused. I want to keep it simple. Thank you.
Okay. To clarify, you referred to us as a charter. We don't have a charter. Let's make sure everyone's clear on that because there's a lot of confusion in the community. Stevensville is not a charter form of government. Mr. West, would you mind distinguishing the difference between a code of conduct and the code of ethics that's found in Montana Code?
Well, so there is the code of conduct which the town council voluntarily adopted to apply to elected officials. And then there's the state law code of ethics set forth by the NCAA. And are you asking about how they play out differently or what?
That's okay. They cover different things, right? Code of conduct is behavior, and ethics is more of don't steal money kind of stuff, right?
By and large, the way that you operate within the offices and positions that you hold. Code of conduct, so the code of conduct that the town council adopted is aimed at the demeanor and the manner in which you all conduct the business here within the town.
So Montana law does not say that a member of the public can't get up and make a public comment, and then you return and say they're a liar. The code of conduct does say that you can't do that. That is the difference between the ethics and the conduct. And that's why we moved forward on a code of conduct, because we had those issues where accusations were being thrown about between staff, mayor, and council, and we said, well, we're going to fix the behavior issue and treat each other respectfully as best we can. And so that's where this came from, because that wasn't addressed in Montana law. I don't think that the state legislature wants to create a law that determines how we conduct ourselves in these meetings. I could be wrong, but they have much bigger things to worry about in their sessions. I would discourage you from rescinding Resolution 444.
I make a motion that rescind Resolution 444.
Is there a second? Motion fails for lack of a second. Is there an alternative motion or anything further? Okay, we move on to item H. Discussion decision, Mayor's annual board reports to the council. Mr. Michelson?
Yeah. I found it here. In accordance with Montana Code 7-1-4146 MCA, an annual department and board report shall be filed with the chief executive, who then shall compile the reports and present them to the governing body. 7-1-4146 reports of department boards and authorities. All departments, boards, and authorities shall file an annual report with the chief executive, who shall compile a report and present them to the governing body. The chief executive may specify the form, content, and deadline for filing reports. When will the mayor compile and present his 2000 and 2019 reports to the governing body? And I also like to add that it's no secret that the park board has been dysfunctional for quite some time. It's no secret that our planning and zoning board, that should be required by law to meet four times a year, has not come before for any business for quite some time. There are other boards that haven't met. And I'd like to know, where are you with these boards? It is the mayor's responsibility to run all boards. The boards are very critical and very important to the town of Stevensville. The park board, when it's up and running, they go around, they find things that need to be done. They bring the recommendations before the council, the council acts, just like the planning and zoning board. The mayor has something before him, or a council member, he can ask the mayor to put it on the planning and zoning board for review. A good example was this was last January. We did a curb out on Main Street on the bank, and the planning and zoning board a year ago in January met, conducted business, reviewed it, and approved it to go before the council for final review. It was never brought before the council for final review. Just a couple weeks ago on 7th Street, there's a new construction project, and that person made a new garage, extended it, made a three-car garage, and made a curb out there. You can go and look at it now. That breaks city code. That should have been brought before the Planning and Zoning Board to the mayor and to the council for review. It's stuff like that that gets, because the boards are not meeting on a regular basis and doing the conducting business, that they are faltering. And I'm not completely blaming you. You have a lot on your plate. But it is your duty as a mayor to make sure the boards are running efficiently and smoothly. And if they're not, then you need to try to act and get people to do it and get more aggressive at it, Mr. Mayor. I notice you don't miss a Main Street meeting. You don't miss a Civic Club meeting. Those aren't your job descriptions. Your job descriptions are to run the town boards. And in my opinion right now, they're lacking. Thank you.
I don't think what I do on my personal time has to be in my job description. Mm-hmm. However, that said, I attended an airport board. Actually, I attended a few airport board meetings where you've not been in attendance. And nobody knew where you were. So, I again, I don't want to we don't want this crossfire. So what I'll tell you is Planning and Zoning Board has a meeting on Monday. It's scheduled. We've lit a fire under their chairboard or their chairman and said we got to get meetings going. I sent an email out to the park board today and I got a response from one of the members on a few agenda items. Planning and Zoning Board put an agenda item on our last agenda and asked for some direction. We didn't give them any direction from this table, and so now they're kind of trying to figure out, well, then what do we do? Fortunately, a couple of variances came through the door, and so now they've got some work to do. Mr. Michelson.
Would it be possible to, put Carol Mickens on the Planning and Zoning Board and run that through there? The survey has just been freshly done.
That, nothing's been filed with the town clerk's office in regards to the alley vacate, and I'm not sure that that Planning and Zoning Board would do a hearing on an alley vacate. That's not necessarily a zoning issue.
What issue is it?
It's one of the executive branch to create a staff report, and then if the legislative branch by law wants to vacate that, then they vote to do so. So that the alley vacate process is pretty clear in Montana code as to how it's handled.
Well, I know pretty well.
And the zoning board isn't mentioned in that process. No, it comes to the council once a staff report has been done by the, you know, the departments that are affected. So
would you like to know if I brought that forward to you in the next agenda item, or would you like to review it first?
It needs to be reviewed, and we need to be given ample time to review it, especially knowing that we don't have a staff member to process the application. So, I mean, I guess this is off topic from the agenda item, but if you wish to consider the alley vacate, then the appropriate documents need to be filed in the office so that those can be gone through, a new staff report can be pulled together, and it can be scheduled for a council meeting. And it's got to be noticed in the paper, too. I mean, this isn't like, oh, we're just going to drop this off on the Wednesday before the council meeting. This is a... You know, I need to have my ducks in a row and allow 60 days for this process to work its way out. At least. Okay. Back to the item on the agenda, which is discussion the mayor's annual board reports to council. So, I gave you my 2018 report at the December meeting and told you all the stuff we did in 2018. Are you asking for a 2019 report now, or when I will give it to you?
It stays here when you'll give it to us.
So I'll give it to you in December of 2019. God willing. All right. Ms. Barker.
Before we go on, could you let us know what boards are still lacking in members?
All of them.
Okay, I do know that some have submitted applications, and we still haven't seen any of those. Is there a reason for that?
Part of the reason is, again, processing those applications proves to be a challenge, because I'm basically the only person left to do that, because I have to make sure they meet the qualifications. The other is, we're receiving applications from folks who don't meet the criteria to be on the board, meaning either I don't feel that they're a fit for the board, personality-wise or experience-wise or what have you, or they don't live in the right district or in the right area to be on those boards. So there are certain seats on certain boards that are allocated to residents and non-residents, and some of those boards have an imbalance as to who's got what seat. So we're working through that. That was one of the projects I was working on with the clerk. And obviously that's been stalled out. So I will tell you, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, I'm giving you constructive feedback as to how you can help me do my job more efficiently. If you stop with the disruption on things like this agenda, I have more time to work on boards. But right now, my job description, as you so put it, is making sure things run smoothly. Well, I'm just focusing on making sure day-to-day runs smoothly and that the glue doesn't fall off. So I kind of let the boards go by the wayside. However, the airport board has done a fantastic job at meeting. TIFID doesn't really have much to go on other than a quarterly meeting. And the park board and planning hasn't really had much going on. And the park board, well, we know where that stands. So I'm trying to inject some energy back into the boards.
Well, but frankly, I can't blame anybody for not wanting to be part of the board either. So I think that, you know, we've got to pull this system together first before we hold the board's feet to their fire. So that's my two cents. Again, it's not meant to be accusatory or anything. It's just, it's constructive feedback. It's no different than what I'd give an employee in their evaluation. Are we prepared to move on? Mm-hmm. All right, we made it. Item I, discussion decision regarding council interviews, procedural guidelines, and council member candidate interview questions. This agenda item, as it's presented to you tonight, it provides you an ability to determine the guidelines for council's interview process and possible interview candidate questions with the resignation of Ward 2 council member Jerry Phillips. So I guess what I'm looking for tonight is I've attached the procedural guidelines you adopted the last time we went through this process and how you want the calendar set up as far as when you'd like to hold interviews or see applications again. Applications are due say that again.
Monday.
The 6th, correct? Of May?
No.
The 3rd of May.
Friday. Right.
Is it Monday?
Just coming Monday. 10 days.
29th.
How is, no. We're going off the advertisement and paper, folks, because it needed to run for 2 weeks in paper.
No.
Do you memorize your public notices? I believe it's May 3rd that those applications are due. I realize the council rule says 10 days. I ran it for longer than that because I wanted it in paper a little bit longer, and I needed time to work through the process. So it's extra long this time. So I believe that they're due the 3rd. Regardless of that, you don't have a meeting again until the 23rd. So I'm looking for some dates as to when you want to hold a special meeting to review the applications and get the interview scheduled. Mr. Michelson.
I understand your diligence, Mr. Mayor, but this is the council's and the council's decision only.
I'm not arguing that.
I'm not saying you are, sir. I would like to suspend council rules, and I would like to have, since it was 10 days when you put it on the Facebook municipal government website, you did put it in the paper, and council rules specifically say it's 10 days. So 10 days would be Monday. I would like applications to see Monday, and I would like you to have a public notice put into paper or out here on town hall for 2 days per with law, and I would like to have the interviews and to have the candidate picked and have the candidate sworn in at a special meeting. And if you do not feel you want a special meeting, then the council will ask you to hold a cow meeting to do this so that the new council member will have a chance, since it is budgeted for, to go to the MMIA train next month, which would only be fair.
I'm not sure that that's entirely possible to get them to Bozeman, because April, I believe, and she did duck out now. She made your arrangements already. She made your bookings based on 3 of you going, not 4. And your budget was tight to begin with. So I'm not sure. And I think the other thing to consider is that seat is only filled for 6 months. Or till December 31st.
Who wasn't going? Because last year when we put in, all 4 of us were budgeted.
Jerry wasn't going anyway.
Jerry wasn't going?
No.
So we are for 3.
So you're set for 3 people. You're within your budget for 3 people. You add a 4th to that, and somebody might be bunking and sharing a happy meal. Ms. Holcomb.
If we wait till the 3rd, we wouldn't have time to do interviews until we got back from Bozeman.
Right. So that's why I say when you get back from Bozeman, we put a meeting on the calendar tonight to say when you get back from Bozeman, you're gonna review your applications then and then set your interviews. Or interview there, I guess, if you'd like.
Are we still in the timeline? Because I know we have to have it done within 30 days.
You have to do it within 30 days, correct. So, Mr. Phillips' resignation, is effective on the 17th.
17th.
April 18th, excuse me, 18th.
18th it went in, so 10 days after the 18th.
So, excuse me for 1 second.
It is the third on that legal
form. Oh, okay, that was what I was going to go look for. So, applications are due May 3rd. So, you're leaving when? The 7th?
7th.
So, you could, in theory, have a meeting on the 6th, or you could have a meeting anytime after the 13th. Because you'll be back that weekend. So you do have time. You've got that whole week of the 13th to appoint someone.
Why couldn't we hold interviews next week?
Because our public notice says that the applications are due on the 3rd, and I don't think that that's fair to the public to change the date after it's been published in the paper.
You changed the date to 14 days without council consent?
I don't think it's legal to not use May 3rd.
I tend to agree, and maybe the attorney can chime in, but I guess I interpreted the 10 days to be a minimum of 10 days. And again, I'm stressing, I've got other stuff going on, and I'm doing this work too. The clerks all have other stuff going on. We've got a budget going on. We've got utility billing going on. We have a lot of things going on, and so a couple of extra days is really nice to help us work through this process.
I understand that. I would like once in a while that you would adhere to the council rules, please. I will digress and let you have your. I'm going to argue with you. If you want to go 14 days, that's fine.
I guess the question, and you could hold your interviews the week of the, in theory, if you cut everybody cut the deadline short, and held your interviews that week anyway, you'd still probably not be able to make an appointment until the 13th, the week of the 13th. So. If you want me to suggest something, I would suggest you hold your interviews on either Monday or Tuesday, the 13th or 14th, and you have a special council meeting on May 16th to make the appointment. We'll swear them in on the 17th, and we'll all move about our day, and I'll move on to some other catastrophe.
Today's the 25th.
Your deadline is essentially the 18th of May. A Saturday. So if you meet on Thursday the 16th, it'll be okay. And if you don't find a candidate out of that pool for, excuse me, whatever reason, as we learned in the last, I think this last process or the process before, nobody is going to come after, or we don't believe anybody is certainly is going to come after us because we didn't appoint somebody within 30 days. 30 days is kind of just a, it's that buffer to say, get this done, don't dilly-dally.
30 days is a law. It's not a buffer. These things are put in here for a reason.
I don't disagree with you, Bob, but what I'm trying to tell you is if it's not done in 30 days, the town isn't going to burn down for it. It might snow, but it won't burn down. So, do I hear... What would you like to do? I need some direction, because it seems like I'm the only one throwing dates out. Ms. Holcomb.
I will approve those dates. We'll do interviews on May 13th to 14th as long as we have those applications well in advance so we can go over them. And we'll appoint the person on May 16th.
Okay. And depending on the load of applications, we may just hold interviews on the 13th. Instead of both days. Is that okay?
Depends on what we get. Yep, that's fine.
And if you want to hold one interview one night, I'll ask you by email, what do you want to do? And you can individually reply, here's what works best for my schedule. Is okay. That acceptable?
Yep, that works for me.
I'd entertain a motion to approve the procedural guidelines for the council interview as discussed.
So moved.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb-Barker?
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve the procedural guidelines for council interviews as discussed, utilizing the attached interview process and the dates given tonight. Further council discussion.
public comment?
Ms. Butler. Time on that meeting?
Oh, is 7 okay?
7.
7 o'clock. And we may pull the interviews in no earlier than 6:30, because I know that's tough for some of you, so we'll work that out. But they will be noticed. Okay, any further public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
I can conclude. I'll get there. That concludes the business portion of our agenda. We'll move on to the executive report. I appreciate council and, more importantly, our citizens' patience as we manage the workload at hand. It's been obviously mentioned a number of times tonight with the critical position vacant of the town clerk. Right now, the following are priorities of the administration as we quickly approach summer. So with that in mind, if one of the things I name after this point forward is a priority of yours but isn't on the list, I apologize. I'll get to it when I can, but this is what we've kind of determined to say. These are the things we need to get done now. Denise has confirmed that her retirement will be effective October 1st this year. Today we began advertising a trainee position that will work with Denise to learn that position while also covering some of the peripheral duties of the office in the absence of the clerk. The park bathrooms have been painted and are ready for fixtures and plumbing. We're on our third contractor for this project. As I noted before, we're confident this one will see it through and won't bail on us. Fixtures are picked out, and so basically we're just waiting for those to arrive and get the plumbing installed. All the plumbing in that building was stripped when it was remodeled. The heater for the swimming pool has been ordered and will be installed as soon as it arrives. I don't necessarily have an ETA on the arrival, but I hope it's in the next 7 to 10 days. And we're underway with hiring for additional lifeguards to cover any vacancies left by guards not returning this next summer. We will do our best to pull together a swimming pool season, working with the state as well on the drainage issue. As we earlier indicated, budget planning is underway, and the departments are working hard to get preliminary budgets together. In fact, tomorrow is the due date for some of their preliminary numbers so that April and I can sift through those. Of course, we'll probably push that out to Monday a little bit because a few are a bit scrambled. So, the general fund departments will be pressed to stay within the amount budgeted this year, meaning we don't anticipate a spike in revenue, and we do anticipate a spike in expenditures or an upward trend in expenditures. So we've told them all, expect either cuts or to stay within your budget this year, and we'll do the best we can. So that'll be something where April and I are eager to go through. We have put together, similar to last year, a budget workshop calendar. And I'll email that out to you for your comments as to making sure schedules will work. It's far enough in advance, and it's pretty ambitious as far as we have some workshops planned that we're just going to bang them out and go for budget adoption. So, and they're consistent dates. So look for that either tomorrow or early next week. I met with Ross Miller, our water rights attorney, and the DNRC last Friday. And the process to get the remaining 3 of our 4 wells permitted will be a long but certainly necessary one. They gently reminded us that the fee for pumping unpermitted water out of the ground is $3,000 a day per point of diversion, which to us would be $9,000 a day. So it's like something like $4 million a year. Obviously, we're working on the process, and so we're not getting penalized, but and the other thing is we're sending them flows for those wells, and they said the least they could say about that was we don't know what to do with your flows because your wells aren't permitted, but at least you're honest, so we have that going for us. We expect to have those water rights totally resolved and those wells permitted in approximately 2 years. So I may or may not be the person to tell you that they're done. We'll see. This is our third water right attorney. And we've been working on this since, I think, 92 or 93. So we're currently processing 2 petitions for variance. One needs more complete information in order to come back to the Planning and Zoning Board for their discussion and input. The other will be discussed by the Planning and Zoning Board on Monday night. noting that that meeting will not be held here because there's a conflicting event at this in this facility. So Planning and Zoning will be meeting at the Main Street Association office at 102 Main Street. So there was another meeting scheduled in this in the conflict. So we moved that meeting to another location. From there, we'll schedule the required public hearings, mail the notices to everybody within 500 feet of those properties, and then hold a Board of Adjustment meeting to hear or to decide on those variances. So expect more meetings. You all received an email from me this afternoon regarding Community Cleanup Day this Saturday. We have conflicting forecasts, some saying snow, some saying rain, some saying sun. So it's a gamble, but rain or shine, will be out cleaning up the community. And encourage, obviously already encouraged our staff to attend, but I encourage you to do the same. If you don't mind registering on our website so that we know you're coming, that would be fantastic. So some of the staff have volunteered to cook some breakfast, pancake breakfast and sausage for us that morning at 8 o'clock, and then we'll get things kicked off at 9. Again, there's more information on our website. Curbside debris pickup is scheduled, excuse me, and will be completed May 6th through the 10th. Additional info, again, is on our website, and that's a spring and fall routine that Public Works carries out to pick up the organic material that accumulates on residential properties throughout this town. So that concludes the executive report. Town Council comments. Mr. Michelson.
I'd just like to let the mayor know, and I'd like to let the public know that during the snow removal, I don't know what company, Yoder, or whoever did it, went down Turner and Heritage in our end of town, Brandon, and they really tore up our sidewalks. I mean, really did. I have pictures. There's also petitions started in our neighborhood. It's going to go around town. So if anybody has anything, damage that was caused by Yoder and them when they did the snow plowing, what they did is they went up right onto the curbs, they messed the curbing, they went right into the sidewalks, and they just made dust of 2-3 inches all the way up the street where their blade hit and just tore up our nice sidewalks. And we don't feel we should have to pay for that. I understand there was no contract, so of course we're probably not legally bound to go after them. We feel that we were wrong by a company that went in there and plowed the heck out of the snow, and in doing so, and I know they didn't intend to do it, it was a mistake, they really made a mess of our sidewalks, our driveways, and that's on us now to fix them, and we feel that we shouldn't have to. So there's a petition going around. I've been going around the last 3 days taking pictures all over town. I'll make a study and I'll get it together, and I will bring it before the council to see what options we have. Thank you.
Other council comments? Ms. Parker?
I would just like to go over, you had posted on the last meeting the duties of the executive. However, there were some things left out, and I just wanted to clarify those things. I'm going to read through the whole duties. 7-3-203, duties of an executive, shall enforce laws, ordinances, and resolutions. Perform duties required by law, ordinances, or resolutions. Administer affairs of the local government. Carry out policies established by the commission. Recommend measures to the commission. Report to the commission on the affairs and financial conditions of the local government. Execute bonds, notes, contracts, and written obligations of the commission, subject to the approval of the commission. Report to the commission as the commission may require. Attend commission meetings and may take part in discussion. Execute the budget adoption by the commission and appoint the consent of the commission. All members of boards except for the executive may appoint without the consent of the commission temporary advisory committee established by the executive. 7-3-211, structural sub-options. The plan of the government submitted to the qualified elector shall further define the structural characteristics of the form by including one item from each of those choices listed in 7-3-212 through 7-3-224. May appoint 7-3-212 is the administrative assistant. May appoint one or more administrative assistants to assist in the supervised vision and operation of the local government, and the administrative assistants are answerable solely to the executive. Supervisions of personnel.
appoint with the consent of a majority of the commission all department heads and remove department heads, and may appoint and remove other department employees, or it says without consent. 7-3-214 is veto power. Veto ordinances and resolutions subject to override by two-thirds vote of the commission. Prepare a budget is 7-3-215. Prepare the budget in consultations of the commissions and the department heads. 7-3-216, which is administrative supervision and control. Exercise control and supervision of all departments and boards to the degree authorized by the ordinances of the commission. Financial officer, 7-3-217, shall be appointed by the executive with consent of the council. Selection of the commission's members, 7-3-218. Elected by districts in which candidates may reside in, which are appointed by population. Type of election, 7-3-219, nonpartisan bias. Presiding officers of commission selection, 7-3-220, election by the members of the commission from their own number for the term established by ordinance. Presiding officers of commission voting, 7-3-221, is the executive who shall decide all tie votes of the commission, but may not have another vote. The presiding officer of the commission shall preside in the executive absence. Executive is absent. Terms of commission members, 7-3-222, concurrent terms of office. I just wanted to alliterate that there was a lot of different things, and there was questions by others when they read what you had posted, that the commission or the council was left out in a lot of that. So I just wanted to read it in for the public.
Okay. Any further council comment? Are there any board reports tonight for the council? Ms. Barker?
I believe we have a board report scheduled for May 7th. Is that correct?
A park board meeting.
Park board meeting for May 7th?
Yes, that's, and I haven't received many confirmations of that, other than I think one park board member suggested some agenda.
That is the weekend that we're going to be gone to.
Oh, bugger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I will not be attending that meeting.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know. Mr. Michelson.
Planning and zoning board is Monday night.
Correct.
Since Jerry is gone, I didn't think I officially left, so I will be attending.
Yeah, you can certainly, I mean, any council member is welcome to attend those meetings.
But I'd be a voting member.
No, you wouldn't be.
Not until tell you.
Not until the council appoints you to do so.
Never got off.
We can discuss it, absolutely. All right, if there's no other board reports, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Ms. Holcomb?
So moved.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker? All right, it's been moved and seconded. We adjourn. Have a great night, everybody.